This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Hey, 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 good morning. It's Backspin Golf. Of course it is. Sunday morning. Hey. And we've had good news this past week, as we've been talking about. Lexington Parks and Rec golf courses are open. If we get some decent weather, it'd be great. But that's really good news, because it's about golf and it means we can play. There's all kinds of stuff going on. It seems like a very busy few days with the NFL draft, and I get to say hi to Perry French. Perry French, once again, not sitting across from me, as we can't wait to happen. But anyway, it's Perry French, Perry French on Backspin Golf. Hi, Perry French, Perry French.
What do you say, Matthew Lawrence?
Apparently, I say your name six times within three seconds.
That's a lot of intro.
Yeah, but you've earned it, pal. You have earned it.
That's funny.
As Cleveland Golf, Strixon Golf, Zexio Golf, Asics. I'll say it again. The Zexio Golf commercial, no matter how many times I see it, makes me smile and giggle. It's so cool.
That's good.
It really is. It's really cool. All right. Here's where I want to start. First of all, how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good. Just, like I said, a lot of golf being played right now, which is pretty crazy.
Yep.
The only downside to it is that's all that's going on. There's no really retail action. So we're trying to figure out how to, navigate a little bit of here and there. But it may be and I'm hoping for this, and we talked about this when it first happened, maybe a rebirth for people to find golf in their hobby life again.
Yeah.
Get out and realize, hey, I haven't walked 18 holes in 4 years, and boy, that was really fun to go out and walk and play some golf.
Absolutely. And I think that's happening.
Oh, now for sure it is.
Yeah.
And I think that, finding time, again, when you have a lot of time, it doesn't seem quite as time consuming.
Right.
That's
well put. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, this is the best thing you can do when we're in this situation is be out socially distant from the guys you're playing with or the women that you're playing with. And, I mean, you're outside. You're doing something physical. You're having fun. You're working on your game. It's perfect.
Yeah, it has a lot of positivity,
yes,
too. What is this time in our lives? And hopefully, like I said, on the backside of this, hopefully we're not too far away from that PGA Tour coming back on June the 11th.
Hopefully.
Sans fans, but at least it's going to be, something to point towards and on the schedule that would make us
right
get glued to what's happening. We know the fields are going to be awful stout at first. Guys are going to get, want to get out there and start competing. So
Jason Day, by the way, said when they start, if it starts the way it's supposed to, he's going to play 11 tournaments in 13 weeks.
There you go.
He said. Meanwhile, his back is so bad that he plays two rounds and that's it.
And the thing about it is, as great as that sounds, 11 tournaments in 13 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a crazy schedule.
Yeah, it is.
Physically, to be traveling, get to an event, start on Monday with whatever, play, practicing, warming up, or
right,
if it's not till Tuesday, you get a pro-am on Wednesday.
Right.
And if you make the cut and you play till Sunday, listen, unless you've lived that life, and I haven't.
Even with a good back.
People have it. It is. With a good back, it's a lot of wear and tear on this. So that's very aggressive.
Well,
there may be some odds of him going 11 out of 13. I'm going to give him about 7.
Yeah. 7%. chance.
No, seven out of 13.
Okay. Yeah, I would say. I guess he's just making sure he's in the field for all those events,
well,
and then he can say, I'm not going.
That's the beauty of it, but they, as long as they decommit,
right,
withdraw within a certain period of time, it allows other people to get in.
Correct.
And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. So something that is going to happen, mm-hmm. no matter when the PGA Tour and European Tour and all the tours get back, we found out that in May, Tiger and Phil Part 2, but this time with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady mm-hmm. as partners. And that we've talked about this. I hated the first one. It was nothing like what we all wanted it to be. But I'm kind of excited about this one. I think this there'll be a lot more life to it, and it's for a great cause. There, this is a lot about the charity,
right.
and
Champions
just want to get your thoughts. Yeah.
Well, no, it's exactly. Let's face it, the coming together with these four great names in the sport, their respective sports, will be a lot of TV fun. The fact that there's four guys playing versus two, there should be some more bantering.
Right.
How they work. I mean, Peyton Manning, for goodness sakes, if you haven't seen this, Peyton places on the NFL this past year.
It's great.
He's a great TV personality now. That will at least help some dialogue, right?
Yes.
To keep it moving.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to integrate the format. We've heard the teams maybe, you know, Mickelson and Manning, and then I heard Mickelson made a comment, no, he's going with Brady. So we'll see what happens in the pairings. But what's the format going to be? Are they going to be playing, you and I would play, a best ball, low score, and we combine the score for the team?
You're
going to have both players involved. You can't just have it be the low score in the hole.
Right. No, it can't be that. I haven't
the
actually...
The amateur players have to be involved.
Right. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, why have them there? Let them caddy for you if they're not going to be involved with everybody.
So they haven't announced the format, which I'm going to be curious to see what it is. I would firstly, I think it's going to be a match play, a hole by hole.
Right.
Because you want to be able to pick up when you're getting yourself in trouble. And it may be a combined, if they have the players' handicaps, it may be a combined score in the hole. 3 and a 6 versus a 4 and a 5, and it's a tie.
Right.
Total score.
I'm actually just checking. It's called... This is what it's called, Per. The Match, Champions for Charity.
Right.
It's going to air live on TNT, possibly Memorial Day weekend. It'll be at, they haven't said where it's going to be yet. There won't be any spectators there. And according to, I think this was yesterday, it says that Tiger is going to be playing with Peyton.
Good. Yeah.
So we'll see. A firm date and location have not been decided. Apparently, it's going to be held in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I heard, Florida.
I don't see anything about what I'm looking to see if there's – I don't see anything about how it's going to – what kind of match it'll be.
Like I said, they haven't even announced a date, which would be nice if they did that. But
right.
I'm sure they're finished.
That'll come
up.
Soon.
It's good that's good that it's going to be out there. Something to look forward to. Again, May is going to be pretty much a repeat of April.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm actually glad that they're not announcing the date yet, that it's not set, because otherwise all the commercials would start now, and I don't need that. I'm good with this. Like, let's wait a little while before we start getting inundated with
it. Be fun to see.
This. It will be fun to see. All right. Now, as we've been doing every week, we've been talking. People have been away from the golf course for a while, but we like to talk about the rules of golf, because you and I, if there have ever been two people with more integrity playing golf than you and me, I'd like to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, you there?
Hello, yeah, right there. So you know, most the rules of golf certainly are designed to give a procedure to really competitive golfers. And we talked about a rule last week that was considered a local rule where you could move the ball out from a lost ball or out of bounds scenario and put the ball in play with a stroke and distance penalty.
Right.
But not having to re-tee or hit a provisional. Keep play moving.
Yep.
And I want to kind of continue in that mode, because we're out playing a lot of golf, hopefully, and probably the most frustrating thing about playing a lot of golf and people, a lot of people playing is slow play.
How slow it is, right? Yeah. Although you've played with me, you know that doesn't bother me at all.
Slow play. I know you don't play slow, let's put it that way. But so the first one, and it has to become looking for a golf ball, right? You know, when do you know we hit a golf ball in the rough? It looked, you had a pretty good idea of where it landed, and you can't find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're recommending 3 minutes now. It used to be five.
Right.
I'm telling you, 3 minutes is a long time.
It's too long.
And look for a golf ball.
Right.
So don't tell me you have a look line. Now, once you get out of your car or get to where you think your golf ball is and you start the search, that's when your 3 minutes begins. If you can't find it, again, we're not playing competitive or playing a match. Put in a little, if you don't find the ball in 3 minutes, you drop a ball as near as possible, one stroke penalty, and move on. That's just a.
Right. Right.
That's just to keep your game going. You can still have, as long as it's the same, it's like playing it like a hazard. The true rule of golf is if you can't find your ball, it is a lost ball. You have to go back and replay it from where the last shot was played. So
right.
I don't want to forego what the rule of golf is and procedurally.
Right.
So that's one thing. But use that as a good moniker. 3 minutes is plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
It's a golf ball. Go on to the next.
Get another one. Right.
The last one I want to talk about today is when to take two clubs for relief or one club for relief.
Oh, okay. Good one. Good one.
This is where people get, is it a two-club relief? Or the simple rule is this. If you hit into a penalty area,
yeah,
and you're going to be receiving a penalty stroke,
yeah,
it's two-club lengths.
Okay. And we know penalty areas used to be called hazards.
Correct.
Right.
The laterals and reds are now called penalty areas. You know, you've got the definitions are still out there by color,
right?
But the procedure is drop within two club lengths. Now, with a yellow hazard, you can't go all the way back. But for the when do I use two club lengths? When do I use one? One club is for when it's free relief. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're by a cart path and you're standing in the cart
right.
path, your ball,
good
path,
one.
You go to the nearest point, take your stance, and then one
club
length from where you actually take your stance and put your club down.
And it's the driver usually. I mean, you want the most room.
So you stand with your heels off the cart path,
right,
or your club pad, depending on which side you're on,
mm-hmm.
and you mark that point with a tee,
right,
and then you give one club length from where that tee is going into the relief area because you don't want to drop the ball and have to be standing back in the cart path or have the ball
right
back on.
Okay,
this is the whole point of that. Sorry, I don't mean
that.
That's the point. So
yeah.
Use that as and club length typically is their driver.
Right.
If you're taking an unplayable lie, balls up against a tree, you don't want to hurt yourself or you can't mm-hmm. advance it, it's a two-stroke penalty and you have what is the semicircle, right? You can go left, right, forward, back on a semicircle as long as you don't go closer to the hole.
Right.
But again, the key thing is if it's a penalty, it's two club lengths.
Okay. Now, you just said an unplayable lie is a two-stroke yeah. penalty?
No. Two club lengths.
Okay. All right.
In either direction, as long as it's no closer to the hole. So it's like it's a semicircle.
Right. Okay.
You can go left, quarter left, dead backwards,
right.
you know.
Just no closer to the hole. That's all.
Right. So that, but again, it's a penalty situation. So it's two club lengths.
All right. This is C. You're teaching me stuff, which you've done every week for the last however many years.
Just to, you know, and again,
yeah.
you want to keep rules of play in play when you're playing to stay keep the competition level.
Yes. And keep
you
moving.
Make moderate rules within your group as it's just within your foursome, not
right.
the group behind you or whatever, as long
right.
as it's agreed upon.
Yeah. Right.
Just say, hey, look, it's a one stroke penalty. If we can't find your ball, keep going.
Right.
You know, let's move.
All right.
Let's move along, people.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Well, maybe this week you and I can play some golf.
I think that's going to be a possibility.
Okay. Well, I will talk to you. I know I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, you're the best. I'm giving you a virtual fist bump and a hug.
Thanks. Same to you.
All right, pal. See ya.
Be good, buddy. See ya.
Oh, I did it again, Sean. Hi, Christmas Carol. Oh. I'm such an idiot. Perry says hi, too, Christmas Carol. Next on the tee. Go to podbean.com. Next on the tee. For my money, the best podcast on golf. Anywhere on the internet. All right, we'll be back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 92.5. And once again, Twitter, which has given me so many friends and amazing guests on this show over the years, has connected me with another one. And I had a great conversation with him last night. And peeps, I'm telling you, this is really going to be something. Joe Duplantis is joining us. 23 years, at least, a PGA caddy, a tour caddy. And now, you know those books? Well, let's say hello to him, and then we'll talk about what he does. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I hope you are.
Yeah, excellent out here. We've had a little bit of a break, but it's nice to get a little time off.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Hopefully it won't be that much longer, because I know we're all itching to get back out there. So I told you, TJ Eau Claire is a good friend of this show, and the Caddy Network is great. And I'm looking at his timeline, and I see this thing about the guy that makes these books that the PGA Tour pros use to help them read greens. And so I went through that, and I clicked on the video of you on there, and then I went down the rabbit hole of these books. There was a Golf Digest article, I think it was written in 2017, I think. I could be wrong, but that is so long and fascinating that I just sat there shaking my head while I was reading it. I want you to start with us and tell me how you got into doing this to begin with, and then we'll go into the actual books themselves.
Well, it's funny because they're so easy to explain, yet when you start giving out simple information, it adds up and takes a lot of time, but it's really quite simple.
Okay.
In the beginning, it's a map of where gravity is going.
Right.
All you're using is an arrow to show where gravity is going. So, yes, even a lot of people say it helps the players to read the greens, but they're just using it as a tool to create their read. So it's not completely reading the greens for them.
Right.
But knowing where gravity is going is a huge start. And you get an estimate of how much, because you're getting points at which on the green, very specific points where gravity is on that particular spot, or you're putting 20 feet, whatever is the case, but you're only getting a particular spot. So you're using that to judge the entire putt.
Right.
So you're actually averaging out one single spot and trying to put it together. So it's a lot of work, and it's not a lot of work, but it's still a lot of estimation, but it's a great start, exactly like yardages are. It's a great start, but it doesn't mean you hit it the exact yardage you get every time. You're still working out a lot of other things.
Well, I can tell you that you make it sound simple. And to somebody that does it, you know what? I think I said this to you last night. This is like a physics professor who everything about physics is simple to, and he's talking to an idiot like me, and I can't make heads or tails of it. You make it sound really simple, and I imagine to PGA pros and their caddies, it probably is.
Well, I guess it's just so familiar to me, because I caddied for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and we've been using books ever since I began. And, they were yardage books in the beginning. And the evolution of the yardage books, which includes green books as well, has changed every year. So it's really kind of interesting that this has gotten so much more interest. I know it's another part of the golf course, and you're not used to seeing people using it.
Right.
But stuff has changed in the yardage book all these years. Like, we didn't originally use a clinometer, which may sound funny to most people.
But, yeah.
It's the ups and downs, So when we're got a yardage, we also know how many degrees uphill it is.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us an exact number for how much uphill it's playing. So we can work that out into our yardage. something like that was a big change for professional golf, but it got no interest because no one even knew they were in the book at the time. So there's been a lot of other changes, maybe not as dramatic because this is another part of the golf course and it was all using your eyes.
Right.
And this has changed quite a bit since we first started because actually the green books have been around for 10 years and they got more and more detailed. I will say complicated. It isn't more complicated, it's just more detail. And you use a grid, and a grid is at 5 yards because really the most difficult part is finding out where you are on the green. Players. Now, the very first day you see it, you might see, oh, there's a lot of numbers and arrows, and that's new to me. But I've noticed after 2 or 3 days, and especially professional golfers, when they hit their shot on the green, they can kind of guesstimate where it is in relation to the hole location. And they already know, okay, it's probably a little downhill and a little right to left, whatever the case is, before they even get there.
As they're walking up to the green.
For sure.
Right.
Sure. Well, they 100% they can get that. Whether they want to do that and know early is up to them.
Right.
But it's just more options and it's a little bit more information. It's something we always did before. We've used little tools like a leveler or something on the green. Now you get one spot, and this is just as Phil Mickelson at the beginning. We use tools to do this, but to actually get this many. We'll have to be on the greens for, 24 hours before the golf tournament to get these greens mapped like this. So it's just saving time. And that's what he pushed a lot because it came across as slowing things down. But, I mean, your very first time you see it, it's going to be new. But after a few times using it, it's going to make things a little simpler and quicker.
Right. Well, I think, and we discussed this also, we're speaking with Joe Duplantis, who longtime caddy and now comes up with these greens books that we're discussing. I think a lot of this is when we're, as fans, we're watching a tournament on TV. And in that article, there were a couple of guys that they talked about, one of them being Dustin Johnson, who, and I remember this, he took a minute and 50 seconds from the time he marked his ball looking at the greens book.
Yeah.
He got behind the ball, then he got back up and pulled out the book again. And then I think a lot of us equate this greens book with taking more time because these guys are all, we're sitting there going, hit the putt. Just hit the putt.
For sure. Well, I mean, in that particular situation, I remember that too. Talking about that when we were doing the article.
Yeah.
I didn't time it myself, but I know he's a fairly fast player.
Right.
And what must have happened is he got up there and read it differently than what the book said.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working it out in his head exactly which to trust. And what ends up happening is you kind of use both. You got to use your eyes,
right,
and use the book as well. Because really you're looking at, you're using the book to look at a particular spot right or left of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it looks flat to yourself, but the book says there's a little slope there, you can kind of read the rest of the putt using a particular point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's...
So you're still using a lot of feel and using a spot. It's just like a yardage. You're still trying to manage the wind.
Right.
And in this particular case, he's probably looking at grain. He's probably looking at how much slope there is at the hole compared to where he is at the ball. And he's just putting in other figures. That isn't necessarily the book, but it's kind of helped him see something that he didn't see.
Right.
And he ended up making it.
Yeah, he did. And ended up winning that tournament. Actually,
yeah, it was a big one.
This is why this is so fascinating to me, though, because also when you get on that green, you have these details, as you call them, but you don't know whether a guy is playing in the morning round or the afternoon round, which will affect how, if he's playing in the afternoon, there have been guys walking on the greens, the grain is growing at a different rate by the afternoon. There's all kinds of those things that you still have to take into account.
Correct. And what I've really found about it, especially since the rule change. Now, last year, my book had a lot more detail around the hole. Detail being just an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the book, because it's scaled down to put in a booklet, you had an arrow about approximately every foot. in scale in your book.
Right.
But now with the new scale, you're really only getting an arrow every 3 feet, which is a level point,
mm-hmm.
a point at which you can see it. So you're getting a lot of less information. So I've had to tell the guys who have gotten used to it one way that, hey, now I put it down where it's really flat. I can put it down and you'll get, gravity going a certain way in one spot and then 3 feet the same way. But in between, it could be going the other way, especially if it's very, very flat.
Right.
So they have to also pay attention. They're learning how to use it. You also have to pay attention to where if it's really flat and you get two or three arrows, this is what fools the professionals. And when more people are using it, this is interesting. When you get a really flat area, you can get a bunch of arrows going one way, but don't just assume it's going to be a lot of slope that direction.
Because mm-hmm.
you are getting a small portion of the area leveled.
Right.
Especially now.
Yeah.
But those are correct in those spots, but you're piecing it together a little bit.
Almost like a puzzle. That's kind of what...
It is like a puzzle. You've got pieces, and you're piecing it together. Just like every shot in golf, you're putting together
right.
the information you have.
Yeah. Well, not me. I'm not that good. So, not me. I'm trying to hit the middle of the green. I'm like, I don't care where the flag is. Anyway.
This is kind of interesting to me, too, because I'm talking about it for the first time, and this has already been stuck up on me 3 years, but I'm remembering now what I told players when they first began.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Here's something else that was incredibly interesting to me. I want you to tell everybody listening how, let's say, okay, you get in your car, you have this equipment, and then you're going to the next tournament for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what your week is like. Because I believe I read you said you sleep in 3 hour shifts, basically.
Yeah, this is what's become really interesting or just complicated about doing something that hadn't been done before. So green books have been around.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do them just with levels in our own books, so everyone had something different. It was hugely time-consuming. It frustrated the tour, so you caused damage on the green, whatever. You're spending too much time out there, and other players can't come through.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, when I began doing this, it was something... What I'm doing that's different is I'm doing a book every single day.
Now, this is... there's another group of guys that do these books, but they don't do them every day like you do, right?
Yes. If you can get a machine, it's a machine that levels out the entire green and gives you a three-dimensional image.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it. Actually, gets 2 million spots. You get endless amount of it. You get a three-dimensional image, basically, and you can put how many arrows you can get on the page, which is a reading point. So you're bringing it down to, just probably 50 arrows on an average size green.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, that was already being done, and other people were doing it different ways. And I met a company called Stracoline.
Right.
And they were out at a tournament, and they had different options. So I get all the information from Stracoline.
Okay.
And what they did was hire some internet developers and software developers to create different possibilities with the green information. And what I just remembered, I was telling players at the beginning, and especially people were asking about it, nobody wants anything more complicated.
Right.
So kind of the biggest thing. You're trying to make this simpler.
Right.
Simpler and faster, else no one will look at it. So at first you're saying, okay, there's something else. Nobody wants to see something else. And so I'm adding, basically I can put in the whole location on a green map that you're used to and show where inside the hole putts are uphill and inside the hole putts are downhill. So they end up using it just as much for their approach shot.
Right. Right.
Because a lot of people don't realize, I hear a lot of talk about lasers and speeding up play. And a lot of people don't realize that they know it, but the hole locations are so different than what we play on a weekend game.
Oh, absolutely.
We're never aiming at the hole location. I mean, it's just very few instances if it was a short hole and you can go at it. But most of the time, I'm putting in these hole locations, they're three from the edges of the green.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, if you start going at it all day, most of their greens drop off, and then you're chipping on a very firm green where it's impossible to leave it in less than 10 feet.
Right.
So you just lose. That's a losing game if you're going at those pins. So you spend all day figuring out where you want to hit it to those locations. So they're not aiming at the holes. They're aiming at spots.
Right.
And this was a big break for them having that information. So they're using it in the fairway to see where they want to leave the ball for their first putt. And then, obviously, they already know once they leave it, what they probably have for a putt, and they can start imagining if it's uphill or downhill, the pace they probably have to hit it, and start visualizing.
Yeah.
Like, good players are supposed to.
Well, like we see all these guys do every week. I mean, this is just, it's so fascinating to me, and I wish we had more time. Would you come back soon?
And, absolutely.
And we can do another segment about this, because there's so much more I want to talk to you about, and unfortunately, I can't call you and say, what'd you think about this tournament? So in a way for me, it's good, because I'll get to talk to you again soon and continue with this discussion. I can't thank you enough, Joe. It's great to meet you, and I feel like I've made a new friend, and I very much appreciate you.
Yeah, like you said, too, we'll get on to how it's been difficult to get the equipment, because I'm printing these books out in my hotel.
I know. I read this night. Is okay. This is what I mean. I may have you back next week to finish this up.
There's a lot. There's a lot to get through. Although okay. It's all very simple. It's just added up on a number.
Yeah.
A little simplistic.
Yeah. You keep saying that. It's all very simple. I've had enough of that already. I'm just telling you.
They'll only buy them if they think it's simple.
Oh, okay. Then we'll keep saying that it's simple. Okay.
Okay. There we go.
Thanks a million, Joe.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, see ya.
Have a good day. Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back, Backspin Golf. Man, this is going to be fun. Joining us now, a guy with a very impressive title. He's the golf guy, Curtis from Picadome, the golf guy. Curtis Mitchell, the golf services manager for Lexington Parks and Recreation. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Matthew. Thanks for having me.
Well, I don't have to tell you how happy I am that we are talking to you for a very important reason on this Monday, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we are officially opening up our courses for public play starting this Wednesday. So really positive news and have a time where we need it.
Yeah, that's for sure. We, as everybody knows, we had our public courses, Kearney Hill, Picadome, my two home courses, all our great public courses have been closed. We were open for a while, and then we got shut down. And really, did you have any idea that this was coming? Did they let you know, say, last week before it happened? Did you know?
Before we did shut down?
No. Let's start there. We didn't really know we were going to shut down even, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we were operating day by day, or really hour by hour.
Yeah.
And the communication from my superiors, you know, Monica Conrad, our director of Parks and Rec, was great. In a time like this, it's when we've never been through it before, it was quite had our head spinning, you know. And but we got through it, and you know, with us opening back up, we've been chatting about how we can create some new procedures that can help not only keep our customers safe but also keep our staff safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with how many rounds that we're going to be doing moving forward, those procedures we're following are very important. So we were able to, in the time off, we were able to kind of reorganize and figure out ways to take away any face-to-face transactions. So now we're going to be doing online payment and booking only through our website.
So this is great. Let's start. Hold on for a second. So the pro shop will be closed, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so there won't be any transactions face to face. So like anything that deals with like the range will be closed because we don't have a way to pre-book that.
Hey Curtis, I've played with you. I don't need the range. I don't need to hit balls before I warm up. I mean, let's go.
Yeah, you just wake up great every day.
I do. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with me
every day.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I've witnessed it multiple times. The range will be closed, but you know, you can go out and you still can chip and putt before the round as long as we're not congregating in any areas.
Mm-hmm.
You can still go out and chip and putt, and we're going to have a couple staff members there making sure people aren't congregating and checking people into their rounds because we don't have the pro shop open anymore, so no merchandise, no food. No range, but we do have public play.
Yeah, and as much as we all love merchandise and food, the most important thing is that we're going to actually be able to play at our great golf courses. And some of the changes we've made, explain to us what those are, like the tee times and different things.
Yeah, so now our tee times are going to be in 15-minute intervals.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be booking them online through our website. We've kind of linked up with Golf Now, so we're able to take these payments online. And with these 15-minute intervals, you can book it walking or riding.
Okay. One person to a cart.
18 holes. That's correct. One person to cart. And, you know, the procedures we had before we shut down are still in place as well. Like, you know, no touching of the flag.
Mm-hmm.
All our communal items are gone. So there's no pencils or tees.
Or rakes,
yeah. So you might get in a footprint in a bunker, but, you know, now it's a true hazard.
Well, I don't hit the ball in sand traps, so that doesn't concern me.
That's true.
Come on, golf guy. Come on, you know that.
I do know that, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. You know, all of this... And we've talked since this all started. We tried it on this show especially. We try to say it every day. Silver linings and things that we'll take from this period in our lives. One of them is how grateful we should be just to be out there playing. So if there's no rakes in the bunkers, if you can, I mean, all of those kind of things, it doesn't matter. You're out there putting your ball in the ground on the first tee, and you're playing. That's the only thing that matters.
I agree 100%. I mean, being able to get outside, out of the house, with some physical activity in an open, safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be great for the city, and we're excited about it.
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation a little while ago with a friend of mine who lives in Chicago and is a fanatic golfer. Belongs to a club in Chicago, but also plays. They have great public courses, as we know, around Chicago. And I called him. It was his birthday, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said he sounded like he was doing something. He said, "I'm walking, and I'm walking on a golf course, my golf course that's across the street from my house, where I'm not allowed to play." He said, and then let loose with a barrage of choice words. You know, so again, we should be very grateful that at this point, and hopefully everybody will do what they're supposed to, and we can keep doing this until such time as when we can have rakes in the bunkers again.
Exactly, yeah. And making sure we follow those guidelines are going to be very important, just so we can make sure that everybody gets to enjoy these things. So, you know, we'll be monitoring that pretty closely.
Yeah,
sure that we follow those rules that we're putting in place, and that, you know, our national guidelines we're wanting to follow.
Right.
But you're right. It's you take it for granted when you do have it, and you know you don't necessarily understand what you're missing out on sometimes.
Yeah.
And with things like golf being more of a leisure sport, you know, it's. You don't necessarily expect to see the amount of people that have been coming to the golf courses or calling and things like that. You know, our interest has peaked, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
No,
wait till
golfers, everybody.
Yeah. Wait till the end of this week and this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because there have been a lot of people who have just been, you know, chipping in their backyard We have, obviously, I've been telling everybody to go to Man of War, which is the best practice facility anywhere. Work on your game. And you said the range won't be open, but get out there a half hour early and work on your putting and your chipping, which are probably the most important parts of your game anyway. I know what a great short game guy you are.
Yeah, I'm still learning. I got a long way to go. Isn't it your guy, Seve Ballesteros? Isn't that your guy?
Yes, correct.
Well, that, when we talk about short game, comparing myself to the ones you look up to, I got a long way to go.
Well, I've played with you enough times. You're pretty darn good. As a matter of fact, I don't really want to play with you anymore because you're too good. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. And I am going to be seeing you real soon, pal, because I'm one of those people, as you say, whose interest has peaked coming up here. And
well,
thanks for the great job you do with our courses, too, Curtis.
I appreciate that, and the team has been great. Our staff has been great.
Yep.
Maintenance guys have been maintaining the courses over the last 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be
under
perfect.
Circumstances. Yeah, so cool. We're excited. We're ready to go, and thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you soon. See you soon.
All right. Thanks, Matty.
Thanks, man. Curtis Mitchell, golf guy. All right. That'll do it. Another edition of Backspin Golf. Thanks to Joe Duplantis, Curtis Mitchell, and of course, Perry French. Joe will be back with us next week. I'm not done with him. Seriously not done with him. As always, thank you to our incredible partners. How about Lexington Parks and Rec? Our five great golf courses open, peeps. Don't forget, you have to go online. Go to playgolflex.com and book your tee times. The pro shop is closed, but we have peeps out there that when you show up after you book your tee time to explain how we're doing this, but the courses are open, and that is great news. French Lick Resort, the courses are open there also. The casino and the hotels aren't. Hopefully they will be soon, but those two golf courses designed by Hall of Fame designers in Pete Dye and Donald Ross are open. So if it's 2 hours and 15 minutes from Lexington or any of the surrounding areas, go play those great golf courses if you can. The best practice facility anywhere. I say it all the time. I'm not just saying it. It's the truth. They are open as well. Go around to the back. Tell them you want a large bucket of balls and go hit some balls and work on your game. The putting green, the chipping area, sand traps, all open with plenty of room for social distancing. Work on your game, peeps. Take a lesson from Brad, Bashan, or any of the great pros over there. You can do club fitting over there. You can't do it downstairs inside where we always do, but you can do it outside. Go get your clubs fit from their top 100 club fitters in America. That's right, America. Man of War Golf. Edwin Watts, go online. Visit them online. They have incredible deals going on right now. And with these golf courses opening back up, they have everything you want. Edwin Watts. And, of course, Clark's Pump and Shop. We love those places. Visit them today, too. And last but not least, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. Go to dancummins.com. You can have all kinds of stuff done service-wise. You can buy a new car. They have amazing deals going on right now. Check them out, dancummins.com. All right, we'll be back next week. Another edition of Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.